Rosh Hashanah to speak about the concept of Malchus. I thought that might somehow be relevant to Rosh Hashanah. Malchus is probably one of the most difficult concepts for our times. There are essentially two reasons why we would have a king, why people would have a king. One is to express the glory of the people, and the other is to keep the people in check. Essentially two reasons why there'd be a king. The country, the nation feels inferior if it doesn't have a king, and that's why the king has to have a certain amount of glory and pomp associated with the king. The people wouldn't allow the king to be treated in a shabby way because it represents the glory of the people. So the one reason for having a king needs a little bit of checks and balances. The Torah tells us, don't get too carried away. You have a little bit of checks and balances because you can get into trouble with a situation where the glory of the nation is embodied in the person of the king. It can start leading to some abuses. So there are halachos, mefurish in the Torah, the Rambam. So halachos about that limit the king. The other function of the king is the opposite function. It's to elevate the people. It's to keep order. Chazal tell us we should be mispalel b'shlamo shel malchus. Why? Because without mora malchus, don't have an awe and a reverence of the king, ish yisra'eyu chayim below. So don't expect to be able to walk down the street safely. Somebody has an issue with you, who's going to stop him? So there needs to be a strong king. I think that it's fair to say that from a Torah standpoint, the Pasuk says that he has to have a Sefer Torah, he has to have one that travels with him, one that stays back in his Beis HaMalchus, because part of his function is not just a policing function, to make sure that there's a... That would be true even for a Goyish king, to make sure that there is a certain amount of order in the kingdom. But for a Jewish king, he's meant to be a role model, to elevate the people. So we live in a time of tyranny. There's the tyranny of the masses. It's called democracy, which has no interest whatsoever in elevating people. None. And then there's tyranny of tyrants who just abuse their kingdoms for their personal gain. And that's all that's left. It's so difficult to come to Rosh Hashanah with an intelligent, informed sense of Malchus. The whole idea has become... Should we move back a little bit to give them some more room? The whole idea has become... It has failed. It has become corrupted and it has failed. And so we need, because if there's any job that we're meant to do on Rosh Hashanah, it's we're meant to do the job of being Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have a clue. If we have nothing out there to work with, we need something. We need something. So the first question is, maybe we have something. Maybe, why should we look so far? Maybe we have something. What do we have? We have the obligation to be mamlich one another. We have an obligation to treat each other as though the other was a king. So while that doesn't serve the function of providing me with law and order, he's not going to be able to protect me when I walk down the street. But in terms of the other function of melech, where I should know that there is a sovereign over me, I can do that with it. We can do that with each other. It's questionable to where the source is. Difficult to know exactly, but it's brought in many places in Chazal, and it's certainly been accepted in Klal Yisrael as a truth that questions that they ask a person at the Yom HaDin don't only include the questions that everybody's aware of Nasata v'Nasasa b'Emuna, etc., Chavata Itim LaTorah, Tzipita LiYeshua, that in addition to those questions, the six questions that everybody is aware of, there is also the questions Himlachta es Konecha, Himlachta es Chaverecha. Were you mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shachris V'Arvis? Were you mamlich your friend B'Nachas Ruach? As I said, it's been brought in many places, claimed that it's a medrash, and the two seem to be put together. So apparently it is possible. The Alter of Slobodka, in fact, wants to say that it's the limit. The limit of your ability to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually hinged on how far you can go in being mamlech your friend. Meaning, there is an internal humility that caps my ability to be mamlech my friend. That cap, that internal psychological cap, that prevents me from being mamlich my friend, don't fool yourself into thinking that with more, well, but if my friend was really bigger, he was the Rabbonu Shel Olam, I would have, my cap would be higher. It's not true. My cap is my cap. How much I'm willing to see myself as subservient to another is capped by my midos. So the two come together. Himlachta es konecha shachris v'arvis, were you mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Himlachta es chavercha b'nachas ruach, were you mamlich your friend b'nachas ruach? Nachas ruach, by the way, is, I believe, more than just how to be mamlich. Thus haste the malchus. If you can speak to your friend b'nachas ruach, that is the fact that you come to daven in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is how your mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You come to him and you say that all of my needs are from you. How do you come to be mamlech your friend? Because I don't think it's just a way in which we're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our friend. Be mamlech the friend, b'nachas ruach. That's how you do it. By speaking in a certain way of nachas ruach to your friend, a way that makes room for him to be him, that doesn't impose, that doesn't demand, that doesn't berate chas v'sholom, nachas ruach. That is being mamlech es chavercha. I don't think that it's just how to do it. The technical detail. It only gives us one technical detail. I assume that there are other technical details in how you speak to another human being. How you mamlech a person, I assume that there are other technical details. You don't interrupt him. You don't contradict him without understanding what he said. I'd imagine there are other ways, the technical things. The Mishnah Novos tells us about how to speak to another person. Himlachta es chavercha b'nachas ruach seems that the Chazal is saying more than just make sure that you do it softly. It's that's how you're mamlich. That's gufa, the trick. It's that you speak to a person b'nachas ruach. Being mamlich. So it could be that we have a tool for focused on being mamlich our chaver, and that stretches the cap, that stretches my ability to feel mishubad, to feel that there is somebody above me, and in so doing I'm effectively replacing perhaps a b'dieved replacement. I'm supposed to be mispalel every day for Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Tzatzmiach, that we want the Malchus, the true Malchus we want, but maybe we have something. Who said that we're completely without That's it. We don't have the other component of Malchus, which is he can't protect me when I'm walking down the street. But certainly in terms of what I'm supposed to get from my internal mechanism of relating to Melech, who said that I'm without anything? I have a chaver. I have a chaver, and I have a tzivui. Ad kedei kach, it seems that it's one of the questions that a person is being asked as he leaves the world. Himlachta schavercha. Himlachta schavercha benachas ruach. So that it would seem that matters are not as bleak as they would seem. Omnam, in the world, we're really wiped out in terms of Malchus. I mean, it's just... There's nothing that resembles an elevating Malchus anywhere, as far as I'm aware of, in the world today. There's no role models. The Malchus in places like England are a mockery. It's the subject of everybody's jokes. And, you know, in America, you were never allowed, up until Kennedy, you were never allowed to quote a president. You couldn't quote a president in an article. You could speak about what the president wanted to say, but you couldn't quote the president. It wasn't covered. Yeah? And came along a president who took off his hat. The first president that took the oath of office without a hat. And that signaled to the world that none of this anymore. And he himself has been the subject of a great deal of abuse in history. But that was the signal. That was the announcement. There is no kavod of Malchus. And what is the trickle-down effect of no kavod of Malchus?
No malchus to the chaver.
And then it becomes no malchus to the self. You know where it leads to? To tattoo shops. That's where it gets to. He took off his hat, and people started running to tattoos. Because that's the trickle-down effect. Just like when Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, when they're not really involved deeply in Iyun and Valojin, so they're being Mechal Shabbos in Paris. So at the top, when there isn't Malchus, when there's no Kavod and Mora of Malchus, so people go to tattoo shops. How are you talking such a thing? So where's the Kavod? Where's Kedusha? Where's Kavod? Was anywhere anything? Any Yira? Anything? No. So there's a trickle-down effect. So that we don't have in the world today from the top down. But Chazal says something else. Man Malche Rabbona. Man Malche Rabbona. Chazal say that we have another Melech. Himlachtas Chaverch is very good. I don't think anybody should neglect that tool. It's an important tool. It's a relevant tool, and it will increase my own internal ability, and besides, I have much more access to chaverim. So hamlochas chaver is for sure a very powerful tool. We have another tool. And that is man malchei rabbono. Now here, in the yeshiva, such as this fine, wonderful establishment, you have the two things coming together. Because while you may each think that you're not as big a Talmud Chacham as you demand of yourself and expect of yourself, given your capacity, b'siyata d'ishmaya, but as far as the world is concerned, you are Rabbonon. And the fact that there are Rabbonon that are greater than you is a gift. Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem, we have a hierarchy of Rabbonon that goes all the way up to the Shamayim. But you must recognize that you are Rabbona. And we have another form of Malchus. What is that form of Malchus? What is that form of Malchus? The pomp and circumstance associated with Talmidei Chachamim? What is that malchus? So the answer is self-discipline. Self-discipline. Who is a king? Person who has self-discipline. Who is not subject to every impulse. Who is able to decide. I went to visit the Menachem Oval by the Altuski family. So they told me that Rav Meir Chandel was there, had been there. He had been learning with him b'Chavrusa for about 7 years, back in the old days, Chavetz Chaim. And while he was learning, they were learning, let's say, the third parak of Bava Basra, learning Cheskes Bayis, and they would be holding in the sugya. He would always have his finger in the spot, let's say, in the Chazara, in Hashutfin, so that if for 1 second his Chavrusa stepped away, go to the bathroom, he could immediately, without hesitation, continue chazering where he was. So that he was able to learn for 18 hours a day. He was learning for 18 hours a day while he was a Talmud in the yeshiva. You say, that's pretty self-disciplined. So there's a pasuk that I would interpret for you, and I imagine that I'm wrong in my interpretation, because I usually am, but it's useful anyway. Even when you're wrong, if you have a good idea and you're wrong, but it's still useful. The pasuk in Malachi has an accusation. We read it Haftorah, I think, at Hanukkah time, and we read that one of Shabbos Hanukkah, the Navi Malachi. So the beginning of the Haftorah, the beginning of the Navi reads that there's an accusation that the Navi has in the name of Hashem, an accusation to the Kohanim. Kohanim weren't treating the Avodah properly. So very often, a Navi will bring an example from nature. Yodashur Koneu, V'chamor Evutz Be'alav. Shur knows its master. The donkey knows its master's trough. So where are you? You didn't think. If you stop and you think, you would naturally know the Rabbanu Shalom, and you would know your relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom. Yeah. So here there's another example given. It says, Ben Yechabed Av V'Eved Adonav V'im Av Ani Ayeh Kvodi V'im Adonim Ani Ayeh Morai Amra Shem Tzvokos L'Kohanim Bozei Shemi. The next words are V'amartem B'meh Bazinu V'Shemecha. Then they respond, what, we? Okay, we don't need to darshan too much about their response. Their response is somewhat predictable. But I would have walked over to the Navi Malachi and I would have said, excuse me, Navi Malachi, are you speaking for all time? You're a Nevuah that is written L'doros. Ben Yechabed Av? That's just an example in nature? Did you check in Toshinayan Bays to see if that is contemporary? After all, you're giving an accusation that is based in nature. A shur and a chamor still do their job today, no problem. They're still doing exactly what they always did. Ben Yechabedav? And I believe, and I think you might have to say that it's Luli Rashi, I'm not sure, that the answer is, the Navi Malachi would say to me, Mein Kind, I wasn't talking about a biological father and a biological son. I was talking about Av, like if the Pasuk says, Vayisimeni la'av leparo, ula'odon l'chol mitraim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu set me up as an Av to Paro. What's an Av to Paro? He became his biological father. He became, because he had wisdom, and his wisdom gave him a certain level of mastery. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me an Av. He gave me a mastery over Paro. And an Odon L'chol Mitzrayim. Somebody who is impulsive, who just responds based on impulse, he is a Yeled. He's a Ben. Ben Yechaved Av. Every one of us knows that we're in the presence of somebody who is more in control of themselves than we are. We have a certain, begrudging perhaps, but we have a certain respect for the person. We have a certain respect. Even if it's a goy. But certainly, certainly if it's a Talmud Chacham. It also has Chachma associated with it. But even somebody who can hold his breath for longer than I can. Some guy who can go underwater and hunt for an oyster for 11 minutes, for 18 minutes, however long that they manage to go on. You know, you watch it, and the film goes on, you know, the guy's going deeper and deeper of chasing an oyster, you know, and you're like, wow. You feel like chalashing. Just try to hold your breath for half of that time. How does he do it? Alachas kama vekama, those who were zochet to see Rebel Yashiv. He used to come to Telstone to visit. He used to spend the Ben Hazman in the Chubsha, he used to spend in Telstone. We saw Bechush, we saw a man get up at his age at 2:30 in the morning and learn. And we were told that in all the years he never went back to sleep. He went to sleep, and 15 minutes later there was thunder, or a baby started crying, or something woke him up. So, like, you check off on your list of things to do. Sleep. Check. Next. Went back to learn. Aye, what about sleep? Yeah, good. Slept. Check. But it was only 15 minutes. No, no. Sometimes it's 15 minutes, sometimes it's more. Check. Next. It's impossible for a ben not to be mechabed such an av. I just mentioned parenthetically, for those of you who Be'ez Hashem will be teachers, what's the difference, or some of you teachers, some of you Be'ez Hashem parents, what's the difference between today and in previous doras? In the door of Chutzpah Yazgeh, so they check to see if the av is really an av. In previous doras, they would accept that the av is an av. And they wouldn't have to push his hot buttons to find out if he's really in control of himself. In the door of Chutzpah Yazgeh, the children and the students have to push the button. And they push the button, they have sensors, they have antenna, and they sense exactly where they can bring out the babyishness in their parent or the teacher. And they push on that button in the hopes of discovering that they're really in the presence of an av. And then it turns the adult into a monkey. And now they get nervous, because who's the adult here? We're in the sandbox. Who's the adult? If I can push the buttons and turn this big person into a monkey, so where's the adult? And they get nervous, and that causes anxiety. So that's the Chutzpah Yazgeh. The only difference between this door and previous doors is that here, not, this door checks. They check. They won't just take its word for it. So they check and they push. But once, even in today's world, if you go to a school and you listen down the hall, you will see those teachers who are fighting with their students because they're not adults. And they can't accept that children are children and they're not adults, and they're in a constant state of conflict with their students because they're not adults. And lo and behold, there's some teachers that are just adults in the classroom, and the students respond beautifully. They perhaps tested it in the first day or two. They tested whatever it was that they were sticking. They saw that this Rebbe doesn't get bent out of shape, and he's an adult, and they carry on, and his classrooms are quiet, and it could be the same class that last year was a bunch of hooligans in a classroom that tore through Rebbeim like they were pages of the calendar, and now they're good, they're listening, they're learning, they're involved, they're engaged, and you say, wait a second, I guess they all matured a great deal, huh? Over the summer, they all matured a great deal. No, they didn't mature a great deal. There's an adult in the room. And there's an adult in the room. The children aren't so anxious. They relax. Because ben yechabedav. So there's an element of mora, of this awe, of the reverence, of the ben yechabedav, simply by mastery. A person has a certain amount of self-discipline. A person who disciplines himself. For example, you see somebody who's looking for the MS and he's able to see past his own negia, that what he said should be true, and he's listening for what's true, that maybe his chavrusa said something true. So, whoa, that's not easy to do. you know, that's my ego at stake. And you see that he's able to do it, and you say, well, I'm going to test that a couple times, yeah, because chutzpah yatke, right? So, and I see that Itaka is looking for the emes, even if it means overriding his own negiyas. So there's a respect. There's an awe. That's an odon. That's an av. That's somebody who has mastery. And that is man malche rabbonon. That you cannot become a Talmud Chacham if you're always insisting that you're right. And you're not disciplined and you're not in control of yourself. It's unfortunate that in today's world, people like me can still become called rabbis, because you can get, charisma can also pass for it. Unfortunately, you can get away with charisma. Where you should have discipline, you can get away with charisma. But there is an essential nature of becoming a Talmud Chacham requires a measure of discipline. So that is man malche rabbonon. And when we have, so in addition to having hamlachas chaver, which is a wonderful tool for expressing and experiencing ourselves in our sense of subservience to another, there is also the recognition that those who are most in control of themselves, it's ad kedei kach that the Chazon Ish writes, you're welcome to be cholek and you can rely on other achronim, the Chazon Ish writes that the mitzvah of ki ashochad ya'aver einei chachomim, that it's an iser to take a shochad because it will distort the perspective of a chacham. So what does the Chazon Ish say? It's gzeres melech. Misvara wouldn't happen that way. Misvara, no, you could give him anything you want. He's not, cannot take him away from his yashrus. But there's a gzeres melech. Gzeres melech, without the gzeres melech, there's nothing to talk about. His perspective would always remain razor sharp. He's a Talmud Chacham. So that ability to discipline, and that can come within ourselves as well. In other words, when we discover any aspect of our discipline, so that's an element of Malchus. And that element of Malchus allows us to come to Rosh Hashanah and regard the Malchus of Hashem. Rabotai, it's important to recognize, though, that because we are so removed from imagining and relating to Malchus, Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing everything that he can for his revelation when he comes, Beis Hashem, in the Yom HaDin HaGadol, the Hanora. He's doing everything that he can to try to wake us up. Kinesher Ya'ir Kino Al Gozalov Yerachef Yifros Kinafov Yikacheu. The eagle, when it comes to its young, it doesn't just land in the nest. It would be too shocking. So he first flutters his wings over the nest. And in fluttering his wings over the nest, it alerts, wakes them up a little bit. It alerts them that he's there and that he's coming. And that's a chesed. So he flaps his wings. That, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to prepare us for the day that we have to meet him. Rabotai, we cannot begin to describe. Chazal say that the meeting between the brothers, the Shivtei Kah and Yosef, was unbearable to the Shvatim. They couldn't speak. They were overwhelmed. They had done him wrong, and they were overwhelmed. And this was a moment that they had been looking forward to. They had been looking to find out that he was alive. They wanted to report back to Yaakov that he was alive. Here they found out that they had done him no harm. And not only had they done him no harm, but in the end it turned out to be they were agents, in fact, for his rise to greatness. And they couldn't speak. They were so overwhelmed by the presence of the Melech. And this Melech was their brother, who showed absolutely no sign of any animosity. And they couldn't speak. In fact, the Pasuk says that they wished that he would be hard on them. At least then they would feel as though they had somehow cleansed themselves. And Chazal look at that and they say, Oy lanu liyom hadin. What's going to happen to us? To stand in such a stark way in front of our reality of the Rabbeinu Shlomo's presence, where nothing, absolutely no fiction that we've ever told ourselves, no fiction will have any weight whatsoever. No fiction. Everything in absolute stark reality. So Chazal are overwhelmed when they see the brother is not able to speak in the presence of Yosef. They say, "Oy lanu miyom adin." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to prepare us in a way so that it should not be such a shock to us. We're fluttering his wings. And one of the ways that he's fluttering his wings is giving us Rosh Hashanah each year. That's one of the ways that he's fluttering his wings, to try to get us used to the idea that there will be an absolute meeting between ourselves and the Rabbeinu Shalom. A meeting in which there will be no nonsense. It'll only be the pure love of the Rabbeinu Shalom, but looking at us in our absolute, absolute reality. That awareness is something we need to build up to. There can be many things that are going to help us build up to that. Hine anochi shaleach lachem. Say Eliyahu anavi. Eliyahu is going to help build us up to that. But it's only going to work because the Kodesh Baruch Hu sends us every single year. He sends us Yom Adin to prepare us. So what does it mean to meet, to encounter absolute reality? No excuses, no lines, no justifications, no, well, maybe I can convince somebody of something. Everything in its absolute starkest reality, that we have the opportunity. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to take away the concept of Malchus from the Goyim, there's mamish no concept of Malchus left. And it's all therefore left up to us to operate with Hamlachas Chaver, with Man Malchei Rabbonon, with the notion that Rosh Hashanah is there to help us prepare for the Yom Adin HaGodol. All of that is our tools at our disposal to try to help us get Malchus. And I'd like to suggest, and here's a pshat that you're welcome to knock to the floor, but it's still, it's a pshat that's probably true even though it's not correct in the Chazal. Listen to the Chazal's lashon. The Chazal say, Heve mispalel bishlomo shel Malchus. What does it mean? Giving us an instruction. Should daven for the peace, the welfare of Malchus. What Malchus is being referred to? Well, if you read the rest of the Mishnah, it seems quite obvious. It's the Malchus that protects us when we walk down the street. She'il mole mora'a ishes re'yehu chayim below. Because without the mora Malchus, you can't walk down the street. The whole thing becomes in South Africa. You can't walk down the street. So, I'd like to suggest that it's strange. Why does it say, Heve mispal b'shlomo shel Malchus? It seems quite generic. Rabotai, I believe that the Mishnah is implying that we should be mispalel for the welfare of the concept called Malchus. Malchus needs our tefillos, to ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to help us with Malchus. Heve mispalel b'shlomo shel Malchus. Because if all we're left with is this crazy thing called democracy, where every moron has exactly the same vote as a person who has stopped and thought and pondered and considered life's values all of his life, if it's all the same, Ishes Re'eyu Chaim below. What does that mean, Ishes Re'eyu Chaim below? So the Pashtus means a person, every person will consume another person. Self-interest will dominate. There's nobody imposing any will from above. So self-interest will dominate. And you will end up with 3,000 channels of television. That's what you'll end up with. Yeah, just endless nonsense, because there's nothing from above. It's elevated. Ishus Re'ehu Chayim below. But I believe, Rabbosai, that Re'ehu in this context refers to the Rabbonu Shalom. As the Pasuk says, Re'acha V'Re'ah Avicha Al Tazov, your dear friend, your Re'ah, and the friend of your father, don't abandon him. Ish Yisrael, you take the life out of the Rabbonu Shalom. If you're not going to be mispalel for the concept of Malchus, then you effectively have turned the Rabbonu Shalom, you've taken the life out of the Rabbonu Shalom, Kibiyachov. You've consumed, you've literally eaten up and consumed the life of the Rabbonu Shalom. You get people send in letters to rabbis. I end up because they keep run out of rabbis, so they send to me. And the rabbi say, "Rabbi, you know the pasuk says like this, but I think like this." I went up north last week, a couple of days to get away. So I went into a ceramic store, a shop, a craft shop. Lovely craft shop. So I thought I'd maybe get a little something, a little gift. So there's two women working there. As soon as they saw a frum-looking person walk into the store, they right away started asking questions about Yiddishkeit. The north, by the way, is a wipeout. If you ever want to do Kiruv, it is wide open. The north is poshut, an absolute spiritual wasteland. I'd like not to be believed. Spiritual wasteland. I don't know, they're talking about giving away this land and giving away this. I don't know, they gave away the whole north. It's just unreal. It's a push, nothing. Wipe out. Town after town. Wipe out. So they wanted to know if this one woman wants to know if the two Neiros for Shabbos that she's making, do they have to be identical? So it's a very good question. So they don't have to be identical. You're thinking of the Hanukkah menorah. Hanukkah menorah, they each have to be in line, same size, but not Shabbos. It could be. Why are there two? Oh, excellent question. And I sang L'chadoti. I said, "Did you ever remember hearing Shamor v'zachor b'diburech?" I can't. No, that's Shamor v'zachor. Two times, that's Eretz HaDibros in the Torah, and that's why it says we have one for Zachor and one for Shamor. Oh, yeah. Mamish, and the other ones asking and more questions, right? They wanted to know if it has to have if the lip on top has to be a full lip. Can it have any ridges in the top of the? So I said that you're asking a very good question. You're thinking about the Kiddush cup, and then Tilas Yadayim. So those have to be, but not the Shabbos candle can all the ridges you want, you know, whatever. Whatever, but you're asking a very good question. That's a ich that this conversation was going on. The Baalat HaBayit walks into the store. Baalat HaBayit, she's one of these old, seasoned veteran Israelis. She's not asking anything. Nothing. And she comes in, at that moment, I happened to be showing them a particular picture. So I said, "This picture you wouldn't use for Netilas Yadayim. Even if you were pouring it from the other side, where it's a clean ridge, this would not be. This, you shouldn't make this for Netilas Yadayim." So this woman goes, "I heard from so and so. There was another bachur that was here, and he said that it was fine. As long as you pour it to the other side, it's fine." So I said, "I'm not going to argue with the other bachur, you know." But the attitude, I said, the approach of they all say something else. Every one of them says something else. That approach, in the end, permits everything. I said, I won't quibble with what this fellow told you. I said, "But you should know that." "Well, but it's true. Everybody says." So I said, "You should know that approach, in the end of the day, permits everything. If there is no mora, if there is no awe, there's no mora, and it's now, it's just whatever." Yeah, they all these rabbis, you know, they all. Once you did that to the rabbis, Once you did that, you're done. And that is what Chazal meant. I believe that it's not just Tzachus HaLoshon, but Chazal meant when they said, Im HaRishonim Kemalochim Anu Kibnei Adam. We have a chance to be human if we look up with reverence to the Rishonim. Im HaRishonim Kibnei Adam, where does that leave us? Chamorim. Totally given over to our impulse, to our chomer, to our impulses. Totally given over. In other words, once you lose that mora, and therefore Chazal told us, having mispalel v'shlomo shel malchus, daven for the welfare of the concept of malchus in your life. You have to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for siyata v'shmaya, and he will help you. He will help you because this is something that he's interested in helping you with. To ask the Rabbeinu Shalom, please, Rabbeinu Shalom, help me with the concept of Malchus. Because I know, She'il Mole Moro, I know that without Mora Malchus, if I don't have this concept of the discipline, if I don't have the concept of Malchus in my psyche, if it doesn't exist, if I consider myself like, you know, in a democracy, one man, one vote, Ish Esreyu Chaim Below. So then we're lost. Chamorim. Pashut, we're lost. And we can end up sapping the lifeblood out of the Malchus Shamayim. There are many brachos in Shemona Esrei where we ask for Malchus Shamayim even now. Even now, even the regular daily Shemona Esrei. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it is virtually the theme of the entire davening. One line after the next, asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we should feel that the Chazal gave us a license to ask him for this. They gave us license to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for Shlomo Shel Malchus. And the Shlomo Shel Malchus is not just that the king should have enough power to intimidate the guy who wants to hurt me. Is that the Ribbono Shel Olam should give me a sense that there's a Malchus. Especially in a world where there doesn't seem to be any Malchus out there to look at. Having mispalel b'shlomo shel Malchus, because that is the moro that will allow us to restore Malchus Shamayim. And it opens up the door. Rabosai, it opens up the door more than anything else does. It opens up the door to for HaKadosh Baruch to mashpia his shefa in revealing his Malchus, which is what we're asking. You look through the words of Aleinu l'shabeach, and what are we asking for? Al kein nekave lecha, Hashem Elokeinu liros meheira b'sifere tzuzecha. That he should reveal his Malchus in the world. But that Malchus is going to be very scary. So we ask the Rabbeinu Shalom, that as he flaps his wings, to give us a Rosh Hashanah that will prepare us, to give us chaverim that we can be mamlich, to prepare us, to give us the Mora Malchus so that we can look at Rabbonon in that way, to prepare us. And the B'siyata D'Shmaya, always a pleasure, because here there really is a tremendous amount of kavod in the yeshiva B'siyata D'Shmaya, a tremendous amount of kavod because of from the top down, there's a tremendous amount of kavod. But we have to recognize that kavod is not just good manners. That kavod is the lifeblood of being able to be mamlich chavir, to have mora rav, and man malchi rabbonon, and it is the vehicle by which we are able to receive Malchus Shemayim Be'ezer Hashem. Should each be zocha teksiva v'chasima tova, and to be able to experience Malchus Shemayim Be'ezer Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. I understand we're not being mentioned. Right. I'd like to have mentioned them. I'm fine.